All right.
Bill, good to see Nate and Hightower back out there today.
Well, sure. Yeah. Good to see all the players that are out there. Hopefully we'll have more join them soon.
Bill, when a player comes back to practice after a lengthy layoff, what kinds of things are you looking for as a coach just from that player specifically? Is it how they're keeping up with the play calls, or is it just conditioning? What are you keying in on?
Uh-huh. It depends on the player. It depends on his position, what his situation is. But, I mean, we try to progress him into the things he can do, whatever limitations he has, and we do something else while we're doing those things. So sometimes it's walkthroughs, sometimes it's individual drills, sometimes it's group drills, sometimes it's team drills, sometimes it isn't. I mean, it could be some combination. It's whatever he's cleared to do, and then if he's not cleared to do it, then we do something else.
Led to the change in Detroit where you guys were going to joint walk through, and then looked like you guys had to, we got the announcement that you guys aren't going to do that anymore.
Yeah, I think Jim covered it.
It was like classified, the way it was classified. Is that what you're referencing?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think he covered it. Ask him.
Would it have been similar to like the Wednesday practice you had before the Jaguars game? Is that what?
Well, we're not doing it, so it's, I'm 100% with Jim. I think Jim covered it, so that's
right.
It.
I'll have to ask.
With Hightower not having practiced yet until today, obviously, being, it's important for him to get a couple weeks of practice and maybe a preseason game under his belt before week one.
We'll do what we can, yeah. Take it day by day, I don't know.
With Harris and Landon Roberts and some of those guys handling the communication green dot, do you foresee Hightower going back to doing that like he did in the past?
Possibly. We'll see how it goes. Depends on, would depend on a number of things, but it's certainly a possibility. We'll see.
When you look at that linebacker position, you've spoken in the past about some of those guys are pretty flexible in terms of playing off the line and on the line or on the edge. And I think Harvey was one of those guys you mentioned the other day. I guess what kind of qualities are you looking for from those guys to be able to play at that end of the line spot or be able to move back and forth?
Well, to be able to play on the end of the line, guys, to be able to play on the end of the line, he has to be able to play on the line of scrimmage against tight ends, against tackles, against outside runs, an outside pass rusher. He's off the line, then he didn't really do any of those things. It's an off the line coverage. He's off the line run fits. It's a different position. So some guys can do both. Some guys do one better than the other, or they play one and not the other. Some guys have done both.
How much overlap is there rushing the passer? He is a blitzer, the inside linebacker versus on the edge, it's either defensive end or outside linebacker.
I think it's pretty much a different world. Yeah, leverage is different. There's another body inside. I mean, the tackles and the ends are usually matched up one-on-one 95% of the time. Inside, it's backs, centers, guards. It's a different, I'd say it's a different world in there.
You've had a number of offensive skill players who can play different positions in different spots. Are you seeing more and more players that can do that coming to the league or we're developing that in the league? And is it possible to identify a guy who can do that if he hasn't done it in the past?
If he hasn't done it in the past, then I think you can evaluate the skill set, but it's hard to know how it's going to go once you put him in that spot. until you see it. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If you've seen him do it, then you have a better idea of it, but again, what we see is a lot different than sometimes what those, you know, what teams see in college or the schemes that they run defensively. Ours is different, so it's certainly not 100% carryover.
And have you seen more players sort of have that breadth of skill that they can line up as a receiver or a backer?
Honestly, you're just looking for a player that can come in and do anything to help your team. Start asking and see if a guy can do a lot of things. That gets hard. Maybe you find one. Hopefully you do. But if you can find somebody and just come in and do one thing and make your team and help your team as a rookie, that in itself is pretty good.
Bill, after 2 weeks of joint practices and 1 week on the road, what's been your impression with the way the team has come back home and kind of gotten back to the basics of it?
Well, it's an adjustment for all of us. It's a process we all got to go through. So we're working our way through it. I think it's the way it's going to be all year. We're going to practice. We're going to have to get ourselves ready for the game. We're going to, you know, basically, you know, practice and train here. So, you know, just getting back into the routine. Say we've got a ways to go before we're really maximizing everything that we do. But hopefully we'll get a little closer each day and fine-tune the process. We have new players on our team, veteran players, rookie players, so certainly an adjustment for them. But, you know, we all need to get back into it. I mean, I haven't done it in 6 months, and neither have any of our other veteran players, so it's an adjustment for all of us.
How has David Andrews continued to progress and grow now that he's in his third offseason?
David works hard. Again, veteran players are always good. Veteran players are always working hard on things that they need to improve on, things they can do better, and working with their teammates, and especially in the offensive line. There's a lot of communication between the center and the quarterback, between the center and the other four members of the offensive line. Sometimes it involves the backs and the tight ends, so the center's always in the middle of that, you know, whether he wants to be or not. That's the position he plays. So, you know, in David's case, it's not just about him and what he does. It's about how it times up with the quarterback and how it relates to other members of the offensive line, in terms of snap count, blocking assignments, adjustments, audibles, and, you know, so forth. So, but he works really hard. He does a great job of communicating, but there's always more to do, and there's always another level you can take it to. So that's what we're trying to do.
When you have a versatile player in the defensive front seven, is his primary role at all dictated by just what else is around him and what spots might be lacking some depth?
Could be. Yeah, could be.
Even if it might not be his best position?
Yeah, absolutely. Defensive line, offensive line, secondary, sometimes you're just trying to get your best players out there, receivers. Get your best three receivers or best five offensive linemen or best four defensive linemen or best four or five defensive backs. Maybe one guy has to play a little bit out of position in order to do that. That's called teamwork. Yeah, absolutely. That's football. That's what you sign up for when you play a team sport. We all have to give up something, part of our individuality, and part of our personal goals or preferences when we join the team. That's football.
Are there any examples of that stick out in your mind from past teams? Guys that, you know, really were better fits in one spot, but you just needed them.
Troy Brown playing defense, Julian Edelman playing defense, Mike Vrabel playing tight end. Right down the line. Rodney Harrison playing on all the special teams, Troy Bowen playing on all the special teams. I mean, I'd give you 1,000 examples. Flutie drop kicking.
Bill, I know this week is kind of a dry run for the coaches too as far as preparing for a game, but just curious, at what point do you start to put extra focus on the Chiefs in that week one game?
We've watched the Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on for the coaches right now. It's one of the hardest weeks of the year for the coaching staff. So, Houston, Detroit, the Giants, the Chiefs, roster decisions. There's a lot going on.
Kind of have to keep the Chiefs and maybe the first few games kind of always in mind, looming over certain decisions or practices, or just keeping in mind those first early games.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think, I think it would be pretty irresponsible as a coaching staff to not watch the team in the opening game and then show up for the first week and then tell your team, oh my God, look, here's something they're doing and this is going to be a huge problem and we've never even talked about it before. I mean, now look, if they surprise you with something, they surprise you with something, but if they're doing something and for whatever reason the teams that you've been playing in preseason or your team doesn't do that and it's something that you know that they do and they do well and they're the opening game, I mean, to not prepare your team for it, wait until 3 days before the game to start talking about it, I think would be pretty irresponsible. So we would never do that. It's not looking ahead. It's just preparing your team for the 16-game regular season schedule. And we know what the first game is. And there may be things in the second and third game that kind of, you know, might fall into that category too. You know, depending on what they are and how much of an adjustment your team would need to make, you know, to handle those situations. So, yeah, I mean, we did that in the off season. Part of that was planning for training camp. You know, are there things we need to work in training camp that we're going to need to do early in the season that we're not going to see from ourselves? So where do we get that? But, I mean, you certainly follow that up with the preseason games, and if they have a particular player or scheme or something that's showing up that you think could be problem, to wait until the day before the game to address it is not, I just personally don't think that's a way to do it. So,
Bill, with the short timetable you guys have, you guys open on a Thursday night, how will that affect just two preseason games and you're leading up to the opener because it's so quick? How will that affect?
We're really on. You know, a couple of short weeks here. You know, we had a long week between the Thursday and Saturday game, between games one and two, and now it's Saturday to Friday, Friday to Thursday, and then Thursday to Thursday, which is kind of a normal week, but it's really not because it won't be till Sunday that all the cuts are made. It won't be till Sunday that we get our practice squad set, things like that, where if we were playing the following Sunday, that would all line up a lot differently than it's going to line up this week. Or this year in the opening game. So, yeah, it's a tight schedule. Kansas City's on the same schedule, so it's not, you know, not saying there's any advantage or disadvantage to it other than, you know, we'll be in a crunch in terms of preparing for the opening game and also dealing with, you know, whatever it's going to be, 1,000 guys on the waiver wire or transactions and so forth. But Nick and his staff do a great job of that, so personnel department will, you know, handle that to a point, and, you know, at some point the coaching staff will be involved, but we'll mainly focus on getting ready for the opening game that week. But, you know, there's a lot crammed into these, you know, these next 2 weeks because they're both short weeks. The Houston week was a long week. We had a good opportunity to get through the Jacksonville game, get into Houston, get some other things done. These two short weeks, 6 day weeks are, you know, especially with the Houston and Detroit being road games, that kind of shortens it even a little bit more. You know, it just gets compressed a little bit, but so it is what it is. Every short week's a long week. Every long week's a short week, so it all evens out.
Does Hightower's skill set from the inside, does his skill set allow him to play both equally as well from the inside as he does from the outside?
Well, he's played both. He played both at Alabama. He's played both for us. So I think he could play both or one or the other, depending on what we were doing, what we were facing, and how much was going on. But, I mean, he's a very smart player, very experienced player at all those positions. So I don't think that would be an issue. It would just would depend on, you know, what we were doing, where we felt like he would be most productive or where we needed him the most. Go from there.
What's made Alan Branch a good fit here? And how do you describe his athleticism considering his size?
He's pretty good for his size. He runs well. He's long. So, yeah. We've had some big guys here. He's one of the longer big guys that we've had. So his length, his height, his reach, his ability to take up a lot of space is, you know, unusual. But he moves well. He's obviously an experienced player, so played, you know, on the end or on the tackle, on the guard, on the center, in the shades. He's done a lot of different things in his career, so I don't think that's, it's not a lot of, you know, teaching progression with him. Most of the things we've asked him to do, he's done before or he's done here over the last, you know, couple of years, so 3 years, 2.5. All right. Okay. Thank you.